Mixtape Special Edition, Special Champion Edition. We've got the man, the myth, the legend, JaVale McGee, with us on the phone right now. JaVale, how are you doing today, sir?
Well, man, I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Yeah, just doing living, good. Man. No complaints.
Thank you for joining us, sir.
I feel it. Yeah, I'm just in the gym. Just got done working out.
Wow, already prepping for next season?
Yeah, just trying to keep it, you know, trying to get fat.
So what do you work on this early? Is it like you jump right back into it, like you never left practice, or are you taking it easy, working on skills, body-wise? What do you hit this early?
I'm just working on my body, just trying to eat right and trying to lifting right now.
That sounds so boring, though. You just won a championship, man. You're supposed to pack on a few pounds, take it easy.
Yeah, but taking it easy is boring, to tell the truth. Like, just sitting in the house all day, just like, what do I do?
There's SVU marathons on all day.
Yeah, but that's for nighttime. What do I do with 16 hours of daylight?
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's a lot of Law and Order, not 16 hours worth, maybe.
They have that programming. Like, they have enough to fill an entire offseason.
Shout out to Dick Wolf. Great programmer.
Is that Dick Wolf, a close personal friend of yours, creator of Law and Order?
I wish he was. I'm trying to get on Law and Order.
What would you be? Are you trying to be like the first suspect?
I'm be a criminal.
You want to be the criminal?
Okay. Yeah, let's discuss it. What kind of, like, walk us through the scene? What write your scene for us?
My scene would be I would be the lead suspect in a crime of a murder.
Okay.
And everybody would think I did it. And I would be telling in the interrogation room, telling the officer that I didn't do it. But, you know, some satire, of course, and
sure,
it would be sort of funny. But eventually we would find out that it was my daughter. She killed someone. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow. It's crazy, right?
So this is acting and writer, JaVale McGee?
Nah, I don't know. But I do want to be on the show.
I would tune in for that episode while it aired live. I wouldn't wait for the TNT re-air several years after the fact.
Yeah, let's make it happen. Ice-T, who I'm sure is listening right now. Shout out to Ice-T. Let's make this happen.
Now, how did you have a you help produce a film that's out right now?
Yeah, Tupac.
Yeah, a little small indie film.
Yeah, I like SoundCloud rappers, guys you haven't really heard too much about. So I really like that story being told.
Just that guy, Tupac, you know.
How did you get involved with that? Is Tupac, I mean, you haven't gone all the way and gotten the Tupac tattoo on your calf like KD did. So maybe, are you as committed to Pac as he is?
It's been a couple days since we've seen JaVale. Maybe he has the tattoo.
Maybe I do. Maybe I have face tattoos and
easy does
arm sleeve. You never know.
But how did that all come together? How did you get involved?
I knew LT Hutton, who was a producer on the film, who was a lead producer on the film, and he brought me in, and he was trying to get me in early on the film, but I really wasn't sold. But then he showed me an early viewing of it, and it was great. I loved it, and so I definitely had to invest in it.
Now, you're not one of these other guys who hears, hey, here's a movie, let me just attach myself to it. You actually have had an affinity for filmmaking for a long time. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. Even when I was younger, like first, second year in the league, I used to make videos and stuff, posting on Facebook and YouTube. But I stopped doing that.
Might be time to bring it back.
Yeah.
Might be. You never know. You never know what's in the works for young JaVale McGee.
I would just be wanting to put, like, whatever you put, you could put produced by NBA champion JaVale McGee, written by NBA champion. I would just want to put champion in front of my name.
I got to. I think I might. I changed my, I think it was Twitter or it might have been Instagram bio to NBA champion and put a trophy emoji.
Yeah, your Twitter, I mean, it has you holding the trophy and it has you riding during the parade, but
parade.
I mean, people still might be confused. You also have your pinned tweet, I'm the only person ever with a rat tail and an NBA championship. Have you gone back and looked at all those old Celtics rosters to confirm that?
The Celtics roster? No, I haven't.
There were a lot of white guys with potential rat tails that I feel like
it's the haircut is a racial thing. Like, black people can't have mullets, but they're called like ducktails because I guess our hair is different. So a white person wearing it would be a mullet.
Fair point. That's a fair point.
I almost cracked this criteria too. I used to have a rat tail. I did not win an NBA championship yet. So you may have some company on that list. Stay tuned.
Still got time.
Still time.
How has it really sunk in yet? That 5-game dusting of the Cavs, has it all sunk in that you are forever immortalized? You helped carry Kevin Durant with your playoff leading PER. It was a hell of a run. I know you're already back in the gym, focused on next season. Has it really sunk in yet?
I carry Kevin Durant. That's what the story we're going with.
We
all watched the finals. We all saw it.
We all watched the finals. We're all the internet. You know the internet. Everyone loves stats these days. By PER, you were the one leading that charge.
Yeah, it's funny. I definitely enjoyed the playoffs, and I definitely had some good games in there where I got to help my team out. I'm just glad I got to be a part of it and really contribute to the wins and the season.
Yeah, because it was kind of, Tyler and I were vouching for you to get more minutes earlier in the season, but because we always think back on that when you were back with the Nuggets, that Lakers series you had. You were a terror on the court, and we were both like, there's still some of that there. It has to be there. Like, this guy's being underutilized. You've bounced around the league since Denver to here. What was that whole process like? Did you ever get down? Was it like, why won't anyone just commit to me?
I just roll with the punches. I'm not really a try to find an excuse type guy. I figure if something's supposed to happen, it's supposed to happen. And as long as you stand positive, everything's gonna come to you that you put out. So I just kept being me, kept putting positive things out, and not let negativity get to me. And luckily, it came back around.
Yeah, there was some negativity that tried to get on you during this season. If you next time, have you seen Shaq since then, or is it you haven't seen him, but it's on site the next time you do see him?
I saw him at the I think it was game four. But I didn't say nothing to him. We didn't say that to each other.
And you wore the hat. Was that before the series started, or was that – I can't remember exactly when that was, the Shaq hat.
That was game one.
So it's still very, very much on site if he tries to come approach you in a disrespectful manner again.
Or respectful one.
What are you talking about on site? Like, where are you getting these verbal – cues from? Like, what have you been watching, like, World Star videos?
I don't watch World Star videos. I am super white. No, that's just a phrase. I don't know.
It's on site. That's such a hood phrase.
Kerfluffle.
Like, it's on site.
He meant kerfluffle. He meant fisticuffs.
Yeah, just square up for a nice little Donnybrook with my Irish brother Shaquille.
I know what it means, but just the definition of that is just like, that's like people, I just don't hear people say that unless they're like from the hood, doesn't it?
Well, I am a white from Boston, so I try and break as many stereotypes as possible.
Easy does.
I like it. No, but it's not on site. I mean, I'm a grown man. I'm not, and I can't afford to get in no fight when I'm trying to, you know what I'm saying, wait till July 1st and sign a contract. So I'm not worried about no negativity to tell the truth. I'm a great ignorer. You know what I'm saying? It's not worth it. Just whatever. I'm moving on with my life.
I respect that. So July 2nd, the minute you see him, the minute the ink is dry, it's gloves off.
That's funny.
How do you're true or false, you're a big, like, tech guy. I know you were into the drones with the drone picture you guys took. So how's it like being out near Silicon Valley?
It's amazing. So much opportunity out here, especially in the stuff I like to do, which is definitely technology and stuff. So it's definitely a blessing just being here.
Is it the future out there? Like, every time I feel like I see videos of, like, anywhere in Japan, it feels like they're 10 years in the future, like, technology-wise.
I've never seen as many Teslas in my life.
Are they driving themselves yet?
Driving himself. I think somebody sleep on a freeway the other day.
That sounds like the dream, though.
Tyler's from Atlanta. He gets to sleep in the car due to all the traffic, though.
I would say, yeah, so I've been ready for self-driving cars.
Right. That's crazy.
And let me ask you, you've been in, as we mentioned, a couple of different locker rooms. Like, you've been on playoff teams and playoff runs before. Did this one feel any different, or just going into it, it's all the same? You just got the same.
I mean,
I've
never been past the second round or the first round. So it was just a blessing just being able to be a part of the run. And it's definitely different because this team just does things different than anybody else does. And as an organization, players, everything, practice, it's just totally different. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
What do they do different? Like, what's the Golden State difference?
I mean, it's just all positivity. Like, to tell the truth, like, I've been on teams where they nitpick at certain things. Like, you come to practice, everybody has to have their jersey on, the same size, same color, stuff that really doesn't matter, but they try to like instill it just for, like, I'm trying to think what was the word be. Just for, like,
professionalism.
Just so you know what you're supposed to do or how you're supposed to do it. Mm-hmm. Here, like one person comes to practice with a tank on, with a Warriors tank. One comes with a whole jersey. One comes with a whole hoodie. Like, it's not that serious. It's play basketball. Like, that's what we're here for.
Right. It's almost like the smaller things don't matter.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. Like, I just feel like they definitely have vision here, and they see the bigger picture of we're trying to win a championship. We're not trying to worry about the style of playing basketball and do not like the style of your outfit in practice.
Right. Is that something you feel you would have appreciated, like, coming right into the league if you were 2021, or, you know, just in a couple of years now you can finally appreciate it, how they're just focused on the bigger goal?
I mean, I appreciate it being here, but it's not like that nowhere else. So I appreciate it feeling it now, and not when I was a rookie, or else the stigma on me when I'm a rookie would definitely be different, because people would be like, why does he think he's, why is he no nonchalant? He doesn't work hard or whatever, just because you're nonchalant. People try to take that to you. But here it's like, everybody's nonchalant, like, but we work hard. You know what I'm saying? Just because you're nonchalant doesn't mean you don't get it done, obviously.
Right.
Taking it back a little bit further, do you feel like the NBA rigged the dunk contest against Blake Griffin?
I don't think it was rigged, but I think it was pre-planned. Yeah,
good. That was a good catch. Good catch.
Oh, man.
I just don't think they thought anybody else was really going to have any creative dunks.
Yeah, like, you broke a Guinness World Record. I don't think Blake did that.
No.
Yeah, I did.
Well, that dunk contest, I was at a Dave and Buster's in Rhode Island.
True.
And for some reason, the whole bar was filled with deaf people. So when they reacted to dunks, they were, like, super excited. But also, you could hear a pin drop. Like, it was very quiet. Like, that. It was a wild scene.
Jesus Christ. Rhode Island's a wild place.
Rhode Island. That's crazy. You remember being in Rhode Island.
There was no Dave and Buster's in, like, the Boston area yet. So we had to, like, go to Providence. We got a hotel. It was,
yeah,
I guess,
a make an event out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, this is a question. I just have one question. You guys said, just 1 second. You guys are telling me you drove. How far is that drive?
It's like 40 minutes.
You drove 40 minutes to watch the dunk contest at Dave and Buster's.
No, we were there for like. I didn't go specifically for the dunk contest. Like, I would have rather have watched that in my home.
JaVale, they were there to play skee ball.
Yeah.
They just happened to
come
watch
on.
The
dunk contest. Use your head one time for me, JaVale.
Wow. I'm glad I'm not living in Boston, going to Rhode Island to watch the dunk contest and play video games.
So
you're 45 minutes away.
You'd much rather live in California, close to the beach.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
First of all, you're talking like a crazy person.
Let's all just simmer down.
Yeah, no. So we can cross Boston. You're a free agent July 1st. We can cross Boston off, so you can stay away from Rhode Island.
Not enough nightlife, man.
No, I'm not saying it's not a nice place. I'm just saying I wouldn't want to watch the dunk contest. I wouldn't want to drive, first of all, 45 minutes to go watch the dunk contest at Dave & Buster's. That's what I'm saying.
Listen, my girl at the time.
I was just watching it in my house.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I preferred. My girl at the time was like, I don't want to just sit here all night. I was like, fine, we'll go there. It's best of both worlds. You can get drunk. I can do what I wanted to do anyways. It's a little compromise, you see.
I see. Compromise. That's all it's about.
This is true.
Are you terrified? Like, you played with Gilbert Arenas when you first came to the league. Are you terrified he's ever going to burst into your house and start Snapchatting everything and start knocking stuff over like he did to Nick Young last year?
No, I'm not. That's the last thing I'm worried about.
I feel like, did he try it or something and he knows not to try it ever again? You were like, no, he would never, wouldn't dare.
No, just me and Gil have a great relationship, and him and Nick have a great relationship, too. It's just you have different relationships with different people, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, that's that dude. Do you think his game would have, like, it's become more guard-oriented even than when he was just in the league, like, a decade ago. Do you think he would have flourished in today's NBA where long threes and his type of play would have been more appreciated?
I feel like he was the Steph Curry before the Steph Curry, if anything. Just shooting far shots and turning around before you make them and stuff like that.
Yeah, he was electric to watch. He was.
He had been doing that.
Have you seen, or do you feel like the league has really changed? Like being inside of, I know watching it feels like it's changing, but like being inside of, do you feel like it's changed? Like, do you work on different things in the summer, or change your body a different way? Like, you're looking for.
I mean, I used to really be, when I was younger and skinny, I used to really be set on, I gotta get bigger and stronger, and now all I try to do is lose weight so I can run faster and jump higher. Like, it just, I wish I would have had that mindset when I was young to stay skinny and not get big. But people in your ear all the time, like, you're not big enough, you need to be big like Dwight Howard so you can pound in the post. And I'm just like, why didn't I have somebody in my corner like, no, you don't have to get 270 and pound in the post. You can still be strong and run the floor and jump and dunk and do everything.
One of the criticisms Tyler's had of Joel Embiid getting into the league, and even Simmons to an extent, is they seem to put on all this weight while they were hurt, and that's not helping them recover. If you could give Embiid some advice.
No, it doesn't help at all. That's exactly what happened to me, because when I got injured, I was like 255 when I was injured. But when I got back from being injured, I could get all the way up to 280. Wow. But it would be easy for me to take it down, but I would have to work out at that weight, which is putting more stress on my bones and my body at that weight.
So what's an ideal weight for you? What do you like to be at? What do you like to play at?
255, like 250.
That's my weight, and I'm 6'5", so I think for you, that would be perfect.
I was saying, now, when your high school coach had you playing some small forward, did he prefer you upwards 250, 260, or he wants you lighter on the perimeter?
You said my high school coach?
Yeah, you used to play a little. You used to play on the wing, did you not? Your high school coach?
I'm gonna tell you this right now. In high school, I was like 190, like barely 200.
Were you as tall as you are now, or did you hit like a college growth spurt?
I was like 6'11", 6'10".
God damn.
Jesus.
Yeah, so I was never big. And then when I got to college, I gained weight. I was like 230, 225, 230.
That's just crazy at that height. Like when Durant was coming out, they were like, ah, he's not going to make it. He needs to put on a ton of weight. I know he can lift now more, but I can't imagine him being like super yoked, like being able to have that shooting touch. Is he 7 foot? Exactly. That's what I want to know. Is Kevin Durant 7 feet tall? Why is he lying about his height?
I'm telling the world now. Kevin Durant's been lying for 10 years now.
Please put an end to this rumor. How tall is he?
He's 7 foot. I don't care. He's 7 foot.
Why does he do this to us? Well, like, what does he gain?
The same reason Chris Bosh does it, who's 7 foot and says he's, and Kevin Garnett, who's 7 foot, and they say he's 6'11", just so they can be a power forward.
Who in the league, who's lying the other way? Like, who have you met that said they're 7 foot and you meet him and be like, wait a minute, easy does it?
Dang, that's a good question. Who isn't 7 foot? Acts 7 foot. I don't know. I don't know. Name someone.
I feel like Dwight Howard.
Dwight's like 6'9".
Yeah, I feel like he's not as tall as listed.
Dwight's like 6'11". I don't think Dwight's 7 foot.
Dwight's tall. Okay.
They list Isaiah Thomas at 5'9". He's really like 5'6", right?
I don't know. Like,
it's hard for you to judge.
My mental is messed up because I'm used to seeing tall guys all the time. Right. And then when I see the short guys on my team, like I see Steph, he's tall, but he's short to all of us. When I see him next to his wife, I'm like, oh, wow, he's really tall because she's regular height. You know what I'm saying? So, like, my perspective gets messed up when I see people that I think are short in the league next to like their spouses or next to girls, because girls are like 5'3", 5'2", and that's the average height. But that's just regular how you're supposed to be. But it's crazy.
I think you got to start calling out Durant. Like, enough. It ends today.
I tell him all the time he's not six. He's not 6'9". Like, especially on the when I see the when they're coming out for the like the starting lineup, like Devin Durant. 6'9", no.
It's like extra hilarious now at this stage of his career, too, because like, it's not like Steve Kerr's going to be like, oh, wait, you're 7 foot? You're playing center,
right,
pal. Like, that's not going to happen.
Right.
We signed you thinking you were 6'9".
Exactly.
What else you got, Tyler? You got anything?
I do want to ask about the your favorite filmmakers growing up. I saw you were a big Tarantino fan.
I love Tarantino. My favorite movie is Django.
That's Ooh, number one?
Okay, I was just going to ask that. Why Django?
It's Django. It's like, I don't want to put it in order, but it's like Django. It's like Inglourious Bastards.
Okay.
I think those are two Tarantino movies.
They sure are.
And then I like a movie by Guy, I think Guy Ritchie produced it.
Snatch?
Rock and Roller.
Oh, Rock and Roller. Okay. Have you seen Snatch?
No,
that's a Guy Ritchie classic. I'm telling you right now, you're gonna thoroughly love that movie.
Pretty good.
It's top three for me.
Let me think of something else. I can't think of any more movies right now.
So when's the JaVale?
I really have a liking for slave movies for some reason. I don't know why.
Like any and all slave movies.
Any and all. I watch every slave, 12 Years a Slave, the one with Matthew McConaughey, I forgot the name of that one. I watch all slave movies. I don't care. The Nate Thurman one, I watch them all.
Oh, the Birth of a Nation?
Yeah.
So when filmmaker JaVale makes his debut, a slave film, a cop film, like which way are we leaning here?
It's going to be a funny film because that's all, like, my attention span is too short for a slave film. That's a lot of history and accuracy, having to be accurate about, I don't have the attention span for that.
Not much funny either, some would argue.
Exactly. Like, you can't really make a joke about slavery.
It's a tough segue coming out of that.
I had more slavery related questions, but we'll save those for later.
I do want to ask, because I was looking at your Twitter before this. When you first came on social media, you retweeted like yourself. Like you tweeted, why did you used to tweet like that? Is my question.
Because I felt like my tweets were that important.
That you had to retweet yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I respect it. It's a power move. It hasn't been copied by anyone else. Which
now, when he was doing it, they wouldn't let you retweet yourself. So JaVale, bit of a trailblazer here.
I was doing it before they had the retweet. Before they allowed you to retweet your own tweets.
Is Twitter your favorite social media?
I had to put a fake R, capital RT, in front of every tweet I did.
I remember those trying times, man. It was not good days,
Pierre. Have you changed your handle? It used to be Pierre, right?
Yeah, it used to be Pierre. And then my people told me to change it to JaVale McGee so people could find me.
Classic. People trying to get in front of an artist.
I was going to say, I searched for Pierre the other day and was like, where the hell is JaVale McGee?
What happened? Is Pierre your alter ego? Is that still prevalent? Do you still break him out every night?
It is. I don't know. I don't understand why it hasn't stuck. How come Boogie stuck but Pierre didn't stick?
That's a good question.
I think it's because people like DeMarcus Cousins will come like murder you if you don't respect his nickname, and you've already said you're not an on-site kind of guy.
Yeah, I think change it back to Pierre. They'd be like, JaVale, we talked about this. They'd be like, Pierre disagreed.
Is Twitter your favorite social media, or do you prefer like Instagram where you can make videos and stuff?
Truthfully, I hate social media. Like
really?
The past, yes.
But you and Steph.
Like, the only reason I post so much is because I have to. Like it's like it's good for you.
It's part
you
of the
what
game.
Saying? Like part of the whole system. Like if I don't post enough, then people will be like, he doesn't work hard. Like what are you talking about? This guy I don't post gym pictures every day. So I had to be irritating and post gym pictures every day just so I can show, because I have to prove to people that I actually play basketball and actually enjoy playing basketball.
Is that why you hate social media? If so, I understand completely.
Yes, I hate it. It's like you have to prove yourself or tell people that you're something that you're not or to show people. You know what I'm saying? That's just so much.
Well, you know, that's J.J. Watt's fault. He's always doing those box jumps all offseason.
Let me plug my softball game again while we're at it.
Yeah, I was about to read it, but go right ahead.
Saturday, Oakland Coliseum, Chug Life Foundation. I don't know if I talked about it, but we build water wells in Uganda every year. We built three, and that's the charity that the money's going to. And Saturday, 1:30 to 2:30 is the meet and greet, and 2:30 is when the game starts.
Yep, you got a bunch of your teammates out there, and you got Bay Area legend Marshawn Lynch, so that sounds like it's going to be a great time.
For a great cause.
Yeah,
best of luck, JaVale. Yep. Congrats on everything. Good luck with the event, and good luck with that new contract coming up. You deserve it, bud.
Appreciate it. JugLifeWater.com is where you get the tickets.
Yep, and at Ticketmaster. So go out and get those. Go support JaVale. We appreciate it, man. Be good.
Thanks, JaVale.
Thank you. Thank you.
And that was JaVale McGee.
Pretty good.
A lot of slave talk.
A little more than I had anticipated.
He was very taken aback by me knowing on site.
He was.
I didn't think that was a very hood term.
I didn't either. I knew where it originated. I just thought it had been co-opted by now.
Oh, that's what I was assuming.
I thought it had just been co-opted.
I assumed I was like late to the party. Like it, like fucking what Urban Outfitters are selling T-shirts with on site on it.
Now he's gonna be like, I talked to those white mixtape guys. I was like, no, wait. It was just one of them.
Yeah, maybe you should start saying words I can't just so people know. Just slide them in there. So JaVale's not thinking like he's talking to two whites from Boston.
Either way, Conley's like, I don't know. I'm talking to one white guy, another white guy was just staring at me. I didn't know where he was coming from.
You could have turned your camera on. He would have seen you. He would have known.
I like it better that way.
Yeah, no. But that was JaVale. I think that's how, from now on, every interview we do, we're just going to keep talking until they quit.
I'm fine with it. I've got nothing but time.
It's like, all right, guys. Zippity-doo-dah.
Now, what I was waiting for... Like the woman that was like, you've got JaVale. I was waiting for her to come back in.
Yeah, be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like 8 minutes in, I was like, all right, guys, we got to wrap. Like right as JaVale's like, ah, that's a great question. All right, guys, we got to shut it down.
That was great, though. And he had us on speakerphone, and when I kept saying on site, you heard him pick up the phone.
He couldn't believe it.
Yeah, he was like, hold on.
He could not believe it.
Who are you? So that was JaVale. People are going to be, we should have actually told him, we're sorry for setting you up because you're not Jimmy Buffett. Like, when I tweeted out the text, people swore it was Jimmy, the Buff Man.
That or I got Jehoshaphat Lever. So I thought it might be,
Juice, comma, Orange.
Juice, Orange Simpson. Jalen Garbage Brand. It could have been anybody, man.
That's what I realized through this exercise. A lot of fucking J names.
A lot of J names. Only one of them champion.
Only one of them. Hey, that wasn't that long. You should listen to one of our episodes.
He should listen to our ads.
Just starting. Yeah, we don't have any ads for this. But that was JaVale. Little bonus episode for you. And watch let me read it. JaVale McGee. He even wrote his press release. NBA champion JaVale McGee. Mm-hmm. I actually don't think he wrote the press release. He's a man of many talents. He could have done it, but... NBA champion JaVale McGee announces a celebrity lineup for the third annual Jug Life Foundation charity softball game. Kevin Durant, Miles Teller, Marshawn Lynch, Blake Anderson, Klay Thompson, G-Eazy, Draymond, Amber Rose.
This is a good lineup.
Iguodala. Lakeith Stanfield.
Okay.
Sean Livingston.
Okay.
Shamar Moore. Matt Barnes. Zaza.
Derek Fisher. No.
Derek Fisher is going to be pitching.
Derek Fisher is making snow cones. He just turns around and sees Matt Barnes charging at him wildly.
And Patrick McCarr and Ian Clark.
Pretty good roster.
So that's this Saturday. All proceeds go to the Jug Life Foundation. Ticketmaster.com, JugLifeWater.com. Go support. And we'll see you guys tomorrow night for the draft.
That's it.
Off like a small town marriage, lovely wife and life, baby carriage. Now all the stars have cars, success of course, but it ends in Hollywood divorce. Hollywood divorce.
And I'm a star, yeah, and I don't have to go to Hollywood, cause Hollywood come through my neighborhood with cameras on. I really think they're stealing from us like a sample song. I really wish one day we take it back like Hammer's home. The hurricane come and took my Louisiana home, and all I got in return was a darn country song. This old country wrong. Oh, but you're right if you just put a little ice on and cut your mic on, but you don't even write songs. But Hollywood make you spit like a python. I make a cobra, I'm so not sober. I'm high like a Hollywood coffee or soda. You can call me a roller. Hold up, your grill's glistening. Spent $100,000 on mine to feel different. What's the real sense of it? Bling bling, I know. And did you know I'm the creator of the term? I just straightened the perm. They let it sit too long, they just making it burn. Make a movie of our lifestyle, but they earn like a dead body burned on the mantelpiece. That's why I try not to lie on wax like it's candle grease. And I beast a little nigga cooler than antifreeze. Defrost on your window pane, Lil Wayne, but in Hollywood it's Little Wayne. Don't make me numb, so that's why I got a prenum. I do.
Starts off like a small town marriage, lovely wife and life, baby carriage. Now all the stars have cars, success of course, but it ends in Hollywood divorce. Hollywood divorce. Yeah,
yeah. A is for Adamsville, B is for born home. See if I give a fuck if you like me, you know I don't. If she ain't got a good head on her, leave that hoe alone. If she do got some good head on her, let her sing a song. D is for what I serve, I don't be on no curb. She ain't no junkie neither, I ain't no dope dealer. But she keep coming back, three stacks must be some crack. Put that pipe in her lap, she ain't know how to act. Now that I've got your undivided attention, I'm gonna say this and run, under condition one. Promise me you gon' stack, promise me you gon' ball. Promise me you'll invest 3/4 of it all for what? So your kids can have some cheese. Can't get with it, get on your knees. Cause wealth is the word.
Yep.
Richest round the corner from the curb. Don't like what I write, shoot me a bird.
10th grade, the way was paid for me and Dre to create. Like Dr. Frankenstein, the arts and crafts. Now could we make a difference? Antoine Patton and Andre Benjamin been jamming for you crabbing. Rap niggas and journalists that's quick to misprint public and private business. Then retract back for deaf ears and think it's dismissed. Part 2, the sequel, all new cast. This ain't the same gang of nerds on the internet slandering your name behind that screen name. They're lame and their life is pretty plain. M&Ms with no nuts won't show up face to face. Straight bitch made like puppies on the nipples of a mutt. Address it on a case by case basis like the judge. What about the lying asshole trying to plot, or these niggas on the block who want the queen?
Nigga, please.
But even she can walk, we'll miss her. We ain't gon' fake it, but God don't make mistakes. Must be something bigger waiting.
Starts off like a small town marriage, lovely wife and life, baby carriage. Now all the stars have cars, success of course, but it ends in Hollywood divorce. Hollywood divorce.
I do love you, but you hate me at the same time. Lights, camera, action, it's game time. Do you take this here as your lovely wife? To love her and cherish her for all your life? I solemnly swear to dare share and take you there. And me and you together, baby, we a lucky pair. It's been a long time, we walk a thin line.
Others say they got you, but you've been mine. As I sit back and watch all the cat fights, domestic violence, is that right? But you love a dog, gave me the spotlight. And now I'm going up, showing up, blowing up. I never ever thought that we were separated all. But you played me like a game of football. Used to feed me, need me, dress me. Now it's so messy, straight cut out and left me.
Hollywood divorce. All the fresh styles always start off as a good little hood thing. Look at blues, rock, jazz, rap. Not even talking about music, everything else too. By the time it reach Hollywood, it's over. But it's cool. We just keep it going, make new shit.
Take our game, take our name. Give us a little fame, and then they kick us to the...